All right, God bless you. It's good to be here today, and I tell you, I have been praying, we have been fasting, we have been looking to the Lord for the meeting, and I'm not interested in another meeting. I'm interested in God doing something. I can have a meeting, I can go out on the street and preach. I can go to the jails and preach, nursing homes, I can go there and preach. I can go anywhere and preach, I can go over on the radio and preach. But I won't see revival. And so I'm going to do something. This morning, that's unusual. Never done it, not it before. Probably won't ever do it again, unless God directs that away. But we're going to do something special. And my wife, she starts the day out in the morning when we start, when we have our devotions together. We get up early, 6 o'clock, and we have our devotions before the phone starts ringing and horns start blowing and kids start slamming doors and all this other stuff. But she writes down a list. Now, she said, I've got to get this done today, this, 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 and this. And she'll write it down. And then she follows her list in order to get whatever she wants to get done, done. And she'll follow that list. She adheres to that list in order to get things accomplished and done. When she starts to go to the store, she'll know 2 or 3 days ahead of time she can go to the store. So you know what you do? When she thinks of something, she writes it down on a list. Because if you don't write down a list, you'll forget it, like most of us. Now, I'm over 50. Matter of fact, I'm a lot nearer 60 than I am 50. And so I forget a lot of things, just like you do. So the thing to do it to keep from doing that is write it down on the list. So she writes down a list. Before she goes to the store, she said, I'm going to buy this, 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 this. And then she buys it. Now, here's what we're going to do. Now, listen to me. I'm going to read the scripture here just in a few minutes. Then I'm going to preach for a few minutes. But I really want you to do this. I mean literally. I don't mean just sit here and look at me. I want you to do it. I want you to get you a pencil and a piece of paper, and I want you to write down on that list what are you expecting this week out of this meeting? What are you wanting? Come on now, we've had hundreds of revival meetings. You've sat through oodles. I know that's not a good word, but that's a good Tennessee word anyhow. You sat through oodles of meetings. But what do you want from God this week? What are you expecting from God this week? Now, I want you to get a pencil and paper, and I want you to write down, I want this from God this week. Hey, listen, that's the only way you're going to get it. You'll forget about it by the end of the week. If you come, if you can't come, you'll forget it. So write down, this is what, hey, I've already written down a list. I want something. Your evangelist wants something this week. And so I'm asking God for the same thing. So write down on the list. Now, I'm expecting God. Now, listen to what he says in Psalm 37 and verse number 4. Here's what he says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Children, you're not listening to Brother Gill. Hear what he said? Psalm 37:4, what did he say? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now come on, if you're God's child, he's already promised us what he'd give us, and that is what we want, what our desires are in him. And Paul's sending out pencils here to you that don't have pencils. Write down on the list. Now, I want this, 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 and this. Come on. Now, you surely to God, you've got something in mind that you've been desiring from God. And so, therefore, we want to write it down on a list. And then, hey, listen, then at the end of the week, we'll share this with one another. That's the way to cause the church to rejoice. All right? So write it down. Get your own personal list. I don't care if it's 20 things. I don't care if it's just one thing. I want something from God, and the only way that I know to get it is I've got to write it down and say, God, here it is. This is my desire. This is what I'm expecting. Me, I'm expecting this. Not from a wife, not from a husband, not from a children, not from a church, for me. I want it. I need it. I want it. All right? Personal. All right? If you got that down. Now, if you don't have it down, surely to God, you've got something on your heart. I care not whether it's someone to be saved, whether it's your family to be put back together, whether it's a financial need, a social need, whatever the need might be, You write it down. Now, I'll be faithful to pray. I'll be faithful to wait on God. I promise you I will. I'll not come in here and run something. I'll not get you a cold oven, cold loaf from heaven. I'll try to warm up this bread and give you something hot right out of the oven. And I'll bring it in here and give it to you just like God gives it to me, all right? And I think we'll have a good time this week. I believe that God's going to do something at Bible Baptist Church. Now, he's already told me you've been beat on and pushed around and kicked and slapped and hair pulled and we're going to put some air brakes on the devil this week. Amen. We don't serve him anyhow. We serve the Lord Christ, and so let's do that. Now, let me give you some prayer requests just right quick before I preach. I'll not be too long this morning because I'm hungry. But, well, at least I'm honest. Amen. I want you to pray. There are two or three things I want you to pray about. I just got through graduating 101 preachers and missionaries in Bowling Green, Kentucky, in our school. I'm vice president of the Great Commission Theological Seminary that operates out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. I've already started a Bible Institute, Wayfarer Ministries Bible Institute. I started last year. We graduated 36 last year. We've graduated 25 this year. And we're looking, we started again in September here at our mission. I'll be telling you more about that along. So you pray about that. Will you do that? But pray much. But while I was in the meeting, I was reintroduced over again to Dr. Gravina Tika. He's a missionary in the Philippines, and he has been instrumental in starting 852 churches. He is on television there in the Philippines. He's on radio. Got a tremendous work, and he's asked me if I'll come down in December for a citywide crusade there in the Philippines. I want to go. My heart's desire is I want to go. I want to go to preach. I want to go see God do some wonderful things. And he's asked me to announce this. So I started out, you're number one. Don't look at me that way. I'm your missionary. I bet some of you didn't know I was your missionary, did you? I'm your missionary. You support me each month. With X amount of money each month you support me, I'm your missionary. And I'm doing this for your sake. I want you to have some fruit. So pray, will you do that? My wife's going to need $1,000. I'm going to need $1,000. That's our fare over there and back. And then I need for God to raise up 1,000 Bibles. I need 1,000 Bibles. Now, not New Testaments, I need Bibles. And we're going to carry him with us as we go. He says we can get in the military. He's got it all down. Every ounce, every fiber of that city is wanting something from God. Buddy, I'll tell you, I want to get in on what God's up to, and I want to see God do some great things. I'm willing, Nancy and I are willing to go. It's going to be during Christmas time. And if somebody said, don't you want to spend Christmas with your family? Honey, I'll be with my family. I'll tell you, I'll be with my family. Those that have been born again, washed in the blood, thank God, I'll be with them. I'll be with my family. Now, you pray. Will you do this? Now, please, don't just look at me that way. If you don't put it down, you ain't going to pray for me. I need $1,000. My wife needs $1,000. That's her ticket. That's her fare to get there and back. And then we need God to raise up 1,000 Bibles. You say, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of Bibles. Hey, it's not when everybody participates. That's right. It's not when everybody participates. I know it might be rough for somebody to say, here's your $1,000. Then again, it wouldn't be rough for some people to say that. It would for me and it would for you to look like you're shaking your head. Yes. But if we had 10 to give $100, it wouldn't be, would it? Right? Right? One soul, listen, it's worth the worth of this world. He said, how can you compare it? And children, I'm willing and ready to go and excited about going. And so pray about that. And then pray about one other thing. Pray about me going back on WYCB. I've had a number of calls. And they want me to go back on that 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And they've already called me from the station and everything. So if God will raise up the funds, I'll go back. I don't have the money. But if God will raise up the funds, they charge me $80 a month. Is what they charge me for 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. So you pray that God's will be done there. Will you do that? Hey, children, I'm excited. Listen, I don't have much life left. But I'll tell you, I have lived as long for the Lord right now as I live for the devil. 28 years in Christ, 28 yeah, out of it, and I'll tell you what, it's just been glorious. I'm excited about what God's doing, and I'm excited for you this week of what God's going to do right here. You've got it written down what you want, and I believe Friday we're going to assemble together with a jubilee. I've got goose pimples on me big as hedge apples already. I'll tell you, God's witnessing from heaven, and that's what He wants for Bible Baptist Church. And I listen, if I didn't believe that, I'd shut this book. I'd get out there in that old 85 Chevrolet I got, and home I'd go, and that's where I'd stay. But I believe that God wants you to have something this week, and I believe that not only that He wants you to have something, you're going to have just that. And so you pray about these matters. Psalm 62, go there with me right quick now, and we'll not be long. It's a quarter of 12. If I don't see you, look down at your watch. I'll let you out of here. We'll be walking out of here by 10 minutes after 12. If I see you looking down, I'll add 5 minutes every time you look down. If you ain't got your eyes closed, praying, 5 minutes to the sermon. And I can see you very well up here, so I'll watch you real closely. I want you to look at Psalm 62. Now look at Psalm 62, and we'll not be long now, I told you. So I relieve you of that, and you won't have to say, you don't hold on to anything, just relax and sit and listen to what the Holy Ghost has to say to you. That's what He says now in Psalm 62. Truly, watch this. Hey, let me give you a little background before I read this to you. This was the time that Absalom was rebelling against David, remember? David was afraid. David didn't want to kill his own son. And so David, therefore, he fled from his son. Now this was during his rebellion. So here's David talking. Now watch what he says now. Watch how nervous he gets. And watch how quick we do things out of fear. Hey, don't do anything out of fear. Thank God, do it because you love Jesus. Amen. Now look what he says. Truly, here's David now. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. You see him? He's reassuring his heart of this stuff. Watch him now. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. See, he was fearful. Now watch him now. He's going to change again in this chapter. He'll change again. He said, I'll not be greatly moved. Wait just a minute. He's going to be solid here in a minute. Look what he says in verse 3 to his soul. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you as a bowing wall, shall you be as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast down from His excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Think about that. Think about what they do. Watch what he says in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Hey, I don't care about all this other stuff. I don't care how they're lying, how they're making up all this garbage that they're making up. He said, soul, hey, soul. Shh, be quiet. Be quiet, soul. Be quiet. You're raging too much. You're thinking too much. You're going to move out of fear in a few minutes. Just be quiet a minute. Look what he says. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. Watch it. What he said in verse 6. I shall not be moved. Buddy, listen. If you can get your soul quiet enough for just a few moments, you can say to your soul, soul, stop raging. Stop thinking. Stop flickering from here to there and jumping on faults here and faults there. Soul, be quiet just a moment and listen what God says. He's my salvation. He's my defense. I don't need to wait on anything else. I don't need the government. Brother, listen, I'll tell you, we're not going to get help from the White House. Thank God we need to get help from the Lighthouse. I'll tell you, we're not going to get it from the President. We're going to have to get it from our Heavenly Fathers who we're going to have to get help from. He said, so, now shut up and wait just a few moments. Listen to what God has to say. Now watch what he says. I'll not be moved. He said, I will not be moved. Look what he says in verse 7. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. How many? At all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And then the Holy Ghost got so happy again. He said, Selah, think about it. Think about that. I'm awestruck. I'm smitten it hard. He said, set back. And he said, I'm speechless. Think about that. Now watch what he says. Watch what he said. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are lies. That to be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, become not vain robber, if riches increase. Set not your heart upon them. Buddy, I'll tell you, you find out about this 10 million junk and all the rest that they talk about, this Ed McMahon and all this junk he sent to the house. Hey, listen, I've checked up on some of this lottery crowd that comes around, and I'll tell you, most of them has ended up in suicide. Set not your heart. If riches increase, don't set your heart on junk like that. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto the Lord belongeth mercy, for thou renderest every man according to his work, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible, inerrant, God-breathed word. Amen. Beloved, I want you to think just a few moments. I took my text out of verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is of him. Now, if I were sitting where you're sitting this morning, I would expect some things from God. I'm talking about from the very initiation of this meeting. The number one thing that I've got written down here, I would expect God to deal with my soul as to where I'm going to spend eternity. Hey, if I didn't get anything else from this morning, and I'm going to give you a few other things, we'll be out of here by 10 after, don't look at me that way. I'll tell you what, if I was sitting where you was, I would want God to deal with my soul as to where I'm going to spend eternity. Don't you tell me, oh, Brother Matt, listen, the Bible says his spirit, watch this, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hey, listen, God, if you belong to him, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will give you witness in your spirit that you belong to him. Come on, he'll whisper down in your soul. Hey, that's the Bible. Romans 8:16. You look it up yourself. Romans 8:16 says, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thank God, I'll tell you what, children. I've got that upper calling. I've already had the witness of the Spirit of God. I don't hope I'm saved this morning. I don't think one day I'll be saved here by and by. I am flat saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, on the 25th day of May, 1969, 4 minutes after 12, University Baptist Church, Chamonix, Georgia, thank God I got born again that morning. Amen. I was 29 years old. I was a drunk on drugs, saying country western music nightclub, Atlanta, Georgia. And I'll tell you what, I was there because three ladies kept coming beating on my door. I was there the third row back. And thank God, for the first time I heard the preaching, I came forward, did what the Bible said to do, repented of my sin, put my faith and trust in him. And thank God, he brought me out that morning. I got saved by the grace of God. You see, if I were sitting where you're sitting this morning, I would expect God to deal with my soul as to where I'm going to spend eternity. If I'm his, I want him to love me. I want him to put his arms around me while I'm sitting here listening. And I listen, and I'm not talking about bringing me under conviction that I'm not saved, but if I wasn't saved, I'd want him to bring me under conviction so I could get saved. Somebody asked me one time, had the audacity to ask me one time, Brother Master Gill, who led you to Christ? The Holy Ghost did.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be belligerent. I'm trying to show you the Bible way. Listen, there's too many people today that's depending on some little prayer they prayed, some little good deed they did outside, a shaking a 6-foot icicle's hand, putting your name on the roll. You might as well shake a donkey's tail and put your name on the barnyard. Amen. You become a Christian just as quick.
Beloved, listen, it takes conviction and drawing of the Spirit of God. I want you to know, as I sat there on that third row, the Spirit of God that Sunday morning drew my heart. Brother, I'll tell you, it wound up on the inside, and as the man of God began to explain of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, I thank God I wanted that more than anything else, Brother Paul. I wanted a change, Brother Larry. I needed a change in my life. And thank God when I came forward that morning, hallelujah to God, He changed me that morning.
I'd want God to deal with my soul. That's where I'd been, number two. I would expect God to deal with my soul as to where I stand in Him right now. Where do you stand in Christ? I'm seeing more and more as I travel and go into these churches and hold these special Jewish conferences and other things, I'm seeing that we have in our churches spiritual babies. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a spiritual baby. My old German Shepherd dog, last night she had 7 little German Shepherds. Now, they're babies. Now, I don't have to go down there and expect them to eat that and try to chew up that old hard dog food. But I expect Mama to do it. I expect Mama to chew it up so she makes milk, so she can put them on milk so they can grow a little bit. But after they grow up, I expect them to start eating hard food, and I expect her to dry up. Hello, are you still with me? Where do you stand with God this morning? In the hey, listen, we've got spiritual babies in our church that they say they know the Word of God. Well, the Bible says in James, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not even going to hear me. So if you know to do something good and you're not doing it, then you're living in sin. You're standing in the wrong place this morning. I expect God to deal with my soul as to where I stand in Him right now. The Bible says over in Galatians, if a brother sin, ye who are more spiritual, go and restore. We don't have any more. Hey, I knew it happened. I knew old Paul would fall. Why, he ain't nothing here. He's an old policeman. Why, all those old policemen ain't no good. Why, they all fall sooner or later. They just flop out, flip out. Come on! I mean, listen, we'd rather go around talking about somebody is to spiritually restore them in complete fellowship with the Lord Christ. Come on. Come on, and I'll tell you, we've got churches standing today. We got people in our churches that are spiritual waterheads. Excuse me. Number three. I see you're getting serious. I got to hurry. Number three. I would ask God and expect God to deal with my soul as to where I spend my time. 86,400 seconds a day. That's what God gives. In a 24-hour day, 86,400 seconds a day. Hey, where do you spend your time? Is it in front, as Jason said during Sunday school, is it in front of the television? Come on, We've got our poor little church people, honey, they wrapped up in that television so bad, it's pathetic. I had a preacher to call me the other night. Me and my little wife was in there in the room, and hadn't called me, and he said, Brother Massingill, he said, you mean to tell me that you and your wife go in there and sit down and read and don't have a television to look at? I said, you got it right, buddy. I said, the best thing that ever happened to the Massingill household when we kicked that booger out. Hello? Boy, it's getting quiet again. Don't get quiet on me now. Help me now. Children, listen. We spend a lot of foolish time and spend a lot. Listen, if you spend more time in front of that television you're doing reading and praying, you're backslid on God, you're cold and indifferent, and you certainly don't have a pure mind. You can't have a pure mind when it's cussing every other breath and nuding us and necking us and the lifestyle that they live on that, on some of those television programs that used to be when I used to have one. But I'll tell you, children, I would ask God where I spend the majority of my time. I can see you getting under more conviction. I better go on. Number four. I would ask God And I would be expecting God to deal with my soul as to where I set my affection. He said, if you then be risen, he said, if you then, Colossians, if you then be risen with Christ, he said, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
And not the things on this earth. Honey, I'll tell you, thank God, I never will forget in West Virginia the day that I bowed and said, Lord, you are Lord of my life. And I'm not going to control any of it anymore. Hey, listen, children, we try to control our thoughts, we try to control our dress, we try to control our eats, we try to control this and try to control that. Listen, just set your affection back upon heaven. And I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost of God, that's why he calls us a Christian to begin with. It's a Christian life, and therefore, it's not up to me to live it. It's up to the Holy Ghost to pour through me to the glory of God. And I'll tell you, thank God, if you'll set your affection back upon things above, he will control your thinking. If there be anything good, if there be anything pure, if there be anything of good report, he said, think on these things. Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So I would ask him to deal with my soul as to where I set my affection. Number five. I would ask God and expect God to deal with my soul as to where I sound out his witness. Are you witnesses to the Lord Christ? Let me give you an incident. I cried, I wept. Nothing I can do about it now. But Richard, right above my house, there's a nursery, just a couple houses up above my house. A little fella I dealt with him, the owner, dealt with him 7 or 8 years ago. And I did ask him about his soul, but you know how people go, especially when you go talk to them about their soul and where they're going to spend it. You know, he said, are you a Christian? Yeah, yep. Flip it. You know, just let it go. But there comes a time when you're coming down to the end of the way, and you know you might have hours left, maybe a day or two. And then when you pop the question to him, do you know where you're going right now if you were to die? Buddy, they're not going to be flipping about it. They're going to be truthful. I was gone. I went over. Mr. Brown came over. Mr. Brown said, sure was bad about what happened to Richard, wouldn't it? I said, what happened to Richard? I didn't hear nothing about Richard. Richard Colder. I said, well, what happened to Richard? Oh, said he went, was jumping on the trampoline the other night with his kids and said he got a hurting down here in his back. See, he thought he sprung his back, so he got off the trampoline and went inside, took a hot bath, and the next day he got up and he grabbed his lawnmower. He was going outside and gonna mow a little while. And said all of a sudden, the pain hit him in the stomach. And then said it progressed on till about noon, his breathing became real hard. He couldn't breathe anymore. So he took off to the hospital. Children, as soon as they get 48 years old, eat up. They wouldn't even operate. Already gotten his liver, everything. Eat up with cancer. Nancy and I went up there Saturday to see him. He was in the hospital. I had a meeting up in High Point, so I had to go. It was kind of late, and I had to go on to the meeting. I said, I'll see him Monday. I rushed up there Monday morning, and I knocked on the door, 9 o'clock, knocked on the door. His little wife came to the door. I said, I'd like to speak to Richard. You should have seen her face. She said he died at 11:30 last night. Come on. All I wanted to ask him one more time, Richard, are you sure you're going to heaven? 9 days. 9 days! He found out he had cancer. 9 days he was gone. He was out of here. Hey, what about your next door neighbor? Hey, what about your grandchildren? Hey, what about those ones that you've been saying, I'm going to get around to it? Come on, children. I'll tell you, I want God to deal with my soul as whether I'm sounding out the witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, I wouldn't go out of the house my house unless I had my tracks with me. That's just like going out without my britches on. The track rack's full back there, children. Do you have your tracks with you today? How many of you have received junk mail? I've already pulled that on you once, but I'm going to pull it again. How many of you have received junk mail? What do you do with that junk mail, children? Throw it in a trash can. They don't fool with that stuff. Hey, don't do that no more. Boy, every time Brother Larry shoves me some of that junk mail in my box, you know what I do? I go to looking through that junk mail, and inside that junk mail is an envelope. And it says, no postage necessary. So I get that little envelope out, and I put a track in it, and I seal it up, and I send it back to them. Let them pay for it, amen. Come on, children. There's a way to get the gospel out. There's a way to sound the gospel out. We walked in one of those quickie markets the other day, and we opened up the beer side, and we slipped the track in the beer cases. We'll let them get some of the living water. That's the wrong spirits, amen. We'll let them get the living water. We went in and slipped it between the bread. We want them to have the bread of life. Come on, children, there's a way to do it. I'll tell you, I would ask God to deal with my soul as to whether I sound out the witness for Him. Number six, let's go. I've still got about 3 minutes. You don't look at me that way. I would ask God to deal with my soul as to where I seek His will in all matters. See, we rely on chance today. If the market says we'll do this, if it says, hey, listen, we've got one in heaven that can defy all of that. We've got one in heaven, thank God, that can turn that old horse around. And you don't have to have any bits in his mouth to do it like we do. Amen? We've got a God in heaven, children, that if we're right with Him, He'll answer our prayer. We can get her turned around. Come on, I'm talking about direct prayer from God. We had it again last night, had it again this morning. That's why I'm so excited about this thing. Listen, we've got a God in heaven that's not going to forsake us, that's going to do what He said He'll do, and exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. Buddy, when you serve a God like that, how can you keep settled? How can you not get excited? That's what that doctor said to me the other day. He said, do you ever get excited, Brother Massengill? I said, I never wind down, amen. Thank God, I get up excited every day. Every time I pick that book up, I get excited. Because I know God's going to do something. Number seven. Let me give you this right away. And it's 4 minutes after. Don't you look down. I would ask God to deal with my soul as to where I really desire to see Him. You see, if we'll keep our eyes and affection set upon the Lord, there'll be a lot of things we won't do. There'll be a lot of lies we won't tell. There'll be a lot of things that we won't buy. Don't get quiet on me now. I'll slap your jaws. There's a lot of things. Hey, listen, if we'll do everything in the light of eternity and knowing that Jesus Christ could come any moment, there's a lot of things that we'll do differently than we do right now. Come on. Come on. If you just get to meditating back upon Him again and realizing that the Bible says that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, my Father's house. I've been made to be around. So, I would have told you I'd go to the prayer place for you, and if I go, I will come again. Thank God, I'll tell you, you don't need any more promise than that. And if we'll do things in the light of eternity, knowing that Christ's going to come back, there's a lot of things we'll stop doing. And then there's a few things we'll start doing. I would ask God to deal with my soul on these matters. What about you? Maybe you had something different. What are you expecting from this Bible this week? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, this morning while we wait for just a moment before the Lord, I wonder, maybe we'd have a stranger in our midst today. Maybe we'd have one here without the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'd say, Brother Massengill, I've never been saved. I really do not know Christ as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. I've been coming to church. I'm a good church member. I've done good and do good. But to be born again, know that I'm born again of the Spirit of God, Brother Massengill, I can't say that. I want you to pray for me. Wouldn't there be one, if I can see your hand, God already sees your heart, but if I can see your hand, I can bombard heaven for you. Will you let me? Quickly? Anyone? Anyone? I'm looking. All right, let me ask you this. Would there be one in our midst? You'd raise your hand and say, Brother Massengill, if you called on me right now and had me to stand up and to declared dogmatically in front of God, all these people, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved. Brother Massengill, I've got doubt in my heart, and I can't say that. Would you pray for me? Would you remember me in this prayer? I'd be lying, if I got up right now and said that, I'd be lying to God and myself. I do have doubt. God bless you. The others, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Four have raised their hand. These are adults. They're children, so you pray. Now, you wouldn't want to be sitting in that position, and neither would I. I wonder, would there be any others? Four have raised their hand. Brother Massengill, I've really got doubt. I think I would, but I've really got doubt in my mind. I've got that doubt, and I'm going to be honest with you and God. I want you to pray for me. Would there be any others? Any others while we wait for just a moment? God bless you, ma'am. God can deal with an honest heart. Now, I'm not trying to make you doubt. God, help me. I'm not trying to make you doubt. But, oh, children, if I can make you doubt just by preaching the Word of God, the Bible says His is a better witness. His is a greater witness. If men give you witness, that God's a greater witness. So I'd rather have His witness than I would man's. I'd rather have God's witnesses, man patting me on the back and saying, I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad the Holy Ghost patted me in the heart and said, thank God you're in. You're on your way. On your way. I did what the Bible said to do, and God did what He said He'd do. He don't lie. God, who cannot lie, hath promised us eternal life. He did. I did, and He did. That settled it forever. Any others? Quickly. Brother Massengill, I just don't know. Then, saint of God, I want to ask you a question, then I'm going to pray. Saint of God, I'm asking you, what about you? Have you, maybe what you wrote down, God's already given it this morning, or at least sent the answer. Has He? Or are there some things that you really desire, and you know it's going to take some prayer along with us preaching this week to get it done? Then the altar's open. Come on, I'm talking about to the saint of God. The altar's open. My Father, I love You this morning. I sure thank You for the sweet witness of the Spirit of God in this place. Thank You for the good music, the good Sunday school teaching. Then, Lord, for the witness upon the message. Oh, I bless You. I love You. I give You all the glory. I'll not touch one ounce. We're going to need You again tonight. We're going to need You again tomorrow. On through Friday, we're going to need You. And so, Lord, I pray right now. As I plead the blood, I ask that You draw these that raise their hand. Help them to come. Lord, we can't help them unless they come. But we'll certainly show them the blessed, precious Word of God. And then, Holy Ghost, You're going to have to show them in their hearts that this is what You said. And this is settled forever in heaven. You said Thy Word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Lord, it's settled. Lord, it's settled. And You've given it to us. Please, I pray. Give glory to Yourself now as You finish this invitation. We'll give You praise for what You accomplish as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name.